One question that anyone studying history encounters is how did China, the world's economic superpower, slip to Western supremacy in the 19th century? I will attempt to answer this question by looking at an object from China, which was acquired by the British Museum in 1842. The object is a brass opium pipe with Chinese characters on the base. The pipe was used to smoke opium, a drug that was first officially banned by the Qing government in China in 1729. The craftsman who made this pipe was breaking the law and would have been considered an accessory offender. As inconceivable as it may seem, one drug facilitated the opening up of China's trading system. Opium trade had started small with only 1,000 chests of opium being imported to China in 1767, but had grown to 40,000 chests being imported in 1839. Opium use became widespread in China. The nation became riddled with drug addicts, and it became a huge moral issue of whether the government should enforce the illegalization of opium on account of its destruction, or if they should legalize it in order to benefit from it financially. A precursor of the Opium War was China being so closed off to trade with other nations. China had always been self-sufficient. It produced enough goods that internal trade was all it had to rely on. But other nations had always lusted after Chinese luxuries, especially tea. And so far, the only needs of trade they had with China was precious metals. Britain's gold and silver was being poured into China at an alarming rate. China's strict trading policy was exemplified by the Canton system, which was implemented in 1759. This system limited European traders to the port of Canton, where they could only travel to the compounds made for foreign trade. There, they were limited to trading with Hongs, which were merchant firms authorized by the Qing government to partake in foreign trade. There were only about 13 of these Hongs, and under such monopolistic conditions, they often overpriced goods and imposed unnecessary taxes and fees on European traders. Europe longed to change the one-sidedness of this trading arrangement, and in 1792 the British East India Company sent diplomat Lord George Macartney to attempt to reason with the Qing government. The Qing government refused to make any changes to the trading situation, because in their view, foreign trade was unnecessary to their economy. Europeans began smuggling opium from Afghanistan and India into China as an alternative to trading with metals. As this opium alternative proved profitable, the British East India Company expanded it. This expansion was temporarily slowed down by a second opium ban in 1799. But when British East India Company's monopoly over the trade was removed, British merchants flooded into China, and the competition between opium smugglers led to lower prices, which made opium use even more widespread. In 1838, the Qing government appointed Lin Zexu as the head of opium suppression. His first course of action was to crack down on domestic smugglers and users. He tried to reason with the British. He wrote Queen Victoria asking her to put a stop to the damaging trade. At the port of Canton, Lin Zexu ordered Western merchants to turn over all of their opium. At first they were resistant, but after being trapped by a blockade for 47 days, Charles Elliot, representing the British Crown, finally got merchants to turn over all opium, allowing them to leave Canton. Lin destroyed roughly $10 million worth of opium and declared that trade could only return to normal if Western traders signed a bond promising not to smuggle opium into China. Charles Elliot demanded compensation for the opium lost and turned to the British Crown for support. He gained the following of other merchants and British citizens, and in October of 1839, the British authorized an expedition force to demand repayment for all opium destroyed. On February 20th, 1840, the British declared war. Their plan was to blockade major port cities and occupy islands until the Chinese government paid compensation and agreed to a commercial treaty. An incident in 1839 had sparked even more animosity between the countries. Drunken British sailors in Hong Kong got in a fistfight with villagers and beat to death a man named Lin Wixi. When Elliot refused to turn over sailors involved, Lin Zexu cut off the British completely, ordering junks to patrol the rivers and ensure that no Chinese citizens gave the British food. September 4, 1839, Elliot sailed from Hong Kong to Kowloon with a small force of armed merchant ships to demand provisions. When Elliot fired a warning shot, Chinese junks fired back. This was the first battle of the Opium War named the Kowloon Incident. It ended with the Chinese retreating. One of the major reasons the king did not properly prepare to fight the British was because of misreporting. News of the Kowloon Incident reached Beijing 2 weeks late, and the emperor was told that the British randomly fired onto Chinese junks, who defended themselves, killing dozens of British and forcing them to retreat, when in actuality the only casualties were two men on the Chinese side. Reporting by officials who want to glorify themselves was very common and added to the Qing government's unawareness of the threat of the British. The king refused to accept anything that was not Chinese. They ignored European culture, trade goods, and technological innovations, certain that they could not be of any significance to the great Chinese empire. The latter would prove to be a major mistake. It was not that the Chinese had an antiquated military or weapons. It was that they had failed to assimilate relatively new European advancements that proved their superiority throughout the Opium War. Many of these innovations were weapons such as rockets, but one of the most significant was the gunboat that was first used during the Opium Wars. Gunboats had smaller drafts and allowed the British Navy to sail up Chinese rivers that could not be accessed by other boats. This eventually allowed the British to sail and to occupy what is present-day Xinjiang. This city is at the intersection of the Grand Canal and the Yangtze River, posing a tremendous threat to the Chinese rice supply and their ability to get goods and food to the capital, Beijing. This move forced the Chinese to surrender. A month later, in August of 1842, the Chinese accepted the Treaty of Nanjing, which gave the British the right to Hong Kong and trading rights in 5 treaty ports. The Chinese also had to repay them for the costs of the destroyed opium and for the war. British traders gained the right to trade directly with the Chinese rather than through Hongs, and they had the freedom to live in the treaty ports. Missionaries also gained access to China. The treaty even established that British and other foreigners would be exempt from Chinese law and would be tried in their own nation's courts. Other nations followed Britain's example, and China's control over its trade vanished. The balance in power was drastically changed. China was no longer a closed-off nation. While European access to China did not change the lives of a majority of Chinese people, it changed the world dynamic of power. China's economy was forever changed, not to mention its culture, that was now exposed to Christianity and other Western ideas. The Qing government was further weakened by war costs. Many blamed the foreign ruling class, the Manchus, for the loss. Rebellions sprung up in China as a result of anger and economic distress caused by the war. The most famous was the Taiping Rebellion, which demonstrated Christianity's potential to influence Chinese culture and ideas. The Opium War had other effects worldwide. It inspired the British and other Western nations who once saw China as impenetrable. It fueled the idea that these nations were unstoppable and could conquer anyone. The idea of European superiority was strengthened, and colonialism took off more than ever. Opium pipes like this one mark an age of transition for both China and the world. People all over felt the effects of the Opium War. Nations, including China, built up their navies in fear of British attack. Western powers felt unstoppable in relation to other nations. And some nations saw the consequences of this view as they were colonized and exploited.